Hello and welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, online, radioreverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and of course, on our podcast. I'm Amy Packham and we are making sure that our passports are in date in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well then, the season is over and it all feels a little bit bittersweet, maybe? We went into Sunday's game with Man United knowing that a win would secure a European place for next season. The sun was shining, the crowd were up for it, but sadly, the team just didn't show up and we fell to a 3-0 defeat, which could have been much worse. Results elsewhere saw us dropping down the table and out of the Europa League positions with Sunderland leapfrogging us after beating Chelsea. All eyes then were on Anfield, where Brentford's draw saw us qualify for the Europa Conference League. Perhaps not the competition that we were hoping for, but a second ever season amongst Europe's top teams, is something to get excited about. Talk about exciting. This Sunday sees our Seagulls head to Wembley for their first ever FA Cup final, where they will face Manchester City. Can the girls bring home the trophy? Joining me today for our penultimate Roar of the season is, of course, Alan Wares. And we are thrilled, as ever, to welcome back a man whose words have filled 1,000 newspapers, whose fingers have filled 1,000 rooms with his wonderful music. Yes, it's Nick Trepanic. Hello, Nick.
All right, guys. How you doing?
All good here, mate. All good.
I did check that my passport was in date the other day. Isn't that really weird?
Yeah, because it's that thing that if 6 months to go, it's out of date, isn't it? Something like that. Anyway.
So, you know, here we go. Liechtenstein, Cyprus, Northern
Ireland.
That's
the weird thing. I mean, I know you were asked to do it, but I think someone else did do it beforehand, is that when we... Okay, we're in the Conference League, and it's clearly the sort of like the Johnson's Pate Trophy of Europe. And I think, but having said that, reading stuff up, I think it's the only the English who are kind of snottily dismissive of it. For other European countries and other club fans of clubs, it's actually still quite a big thing. And when you see who else is in that, I would be of the opinion that this is a much harder competition next year than it was this year. And I can say that for two reasons. One of which I think that, and two, look who's in the final this year.
I've been saying this for years. I mean, there's long been a British negativity towards any European competition that isn't the Champions League. The people look down on the Europa League. Oh, can't do that. It's on a Thursday. People look down on the Conference League. But yeah, every other country in Europe takes it seriously. It's a major cup competition, and your job as a football club is to try and be as successful as possible. So yeah, am I disappointed we're not in the Europa League? Yes, because I really enjoyed it. And I think it's a fabulous competition. Am I disappointed that we're in the Conference League? I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. Get this roll on those fixtures.
Nick?
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at some of the teams who are in it, Ajax are in it, Sporting Braga, Panathinaikos, Gothenburg. You know, we're talking about some pretty major teams and others who will be dropping down from Europa League qualifying, Champions League qualifying. There'll be some interesting teams there.
I mean, this is it. When we were in the Europa League last time, there were some pretty big heavyweight numbers. I mean, who was it? I think it was Ajax ended up dropping down to the Conference League from our group. I think they just managed to sneak over the line ahead of Ajax. So, yeah, I mean, come the latter stages of it, there's some pretty big hitters. I mean, yeah, the Conference League might start off with more, quote, minnows than others, but... One, you've got to be in it to win it. And two, sorry, that was a terrible cliche idea. That should have been you that said that. And
I am cliche-y.
You are. But yeah, and we're back in it. I think, you know, Monaco are in it as well. They've had a pretty decent track record in European history. I mean, I think it just seemed to be, I could be wrong here, it just seemed to be there were fewer clubs out in the wilds of Southern Asia that we could have played in the Europa League than compared to where we are now. But that's probably just twaddling. Yeah. Sodslaw says that for our qualifier, we'll get sodding Glasgow Rangers.
Hibs. Could be Hibs.
Yeah. Well, the qualifying round is supposed to be seeded. And if it's done on UEFA coefficient, then I think at the moment we're in the top eight. So we should be comfortable. We should be up against Shelbourne or some team from Malta or something, I think.
Someone from the North Pole.
Okay, well, I mean, well, we'll come to the permutations and how the competition works and who's in the various pot shortly. But let's have a quick chat about how we ended up to be in that competition, obviously by finishing eighth in the Premier League. We again a stellar finish for the Albion. I think is that it's our second, no, our third best ever finish, isn't it? I think.
No, so
Or
it's equals our second best ever finish.
yeah, so yeah.
Hertzler is the first Brighton coach ever to get two top 10 finishes. Yeah, it equals last year, albeit with fewer points, but with greater reward. Go figure.
Yeah, well,
But I think, Nick, isn't that, would you say that's more to do with the concertina ring of the division this season?
yes, to do with better teams coming up. Yes, and of course Sunderland rather proved that by nicking one of the Europa League places off us. That didn't look at all possible a few weeks ago, but keep winning, keep plugging away, keep getting the results, and watch Chelsea fall down past you. And
Yeah.
that was at least something to enjoy on the final day, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Chelsea finally getting to Europe.
Well, I mean, there is a school of thought that suggests that if Chelsea had qualified for European competition, then that they would have faced more sanctions than they would do by not being in European
How
competition.
come?
Because of they do things like selling their women's team to themselves and hotels to themselves and things like that, Al. So.
Oh, that kind of
Yes, that's
thing.
allowed in the Premier League, but not in Europe.
Oh,
And
really?
there was a possibility of them facing further sanction if they were to qualify for a UEFA competition where the punishments are a little bit more stringent than they would be
And I
here.
think Bournemouth have to be a little bit careful because they didn't make the Champions League in the end. But again, I was reading something a couple of weeks ago whereby I think, again, their squad to cost and things like that, where the Champions League would have actually seen them okay, but the Europa League and or Conference League may not be enough. I've got to look into this a bit better and
Yeah.
hopefully report back to you next week. But there
Well,
was.
that was another mild pleasure, wasn't it? Knowing with Villa winning at City that Bournemouth couldn't make the Champions League.
Yeah,
You
I
know what?
mean,
I mean, I did not call that game. I mean, I thought that. I mean, congratulations to Villa, by the way. I mean, that was a fabulous performance against Freiburg and well deserved. So they held up their side of the bargain by winning Europa League. And I actually thought they would have been still in the pub when they turned up at the Emirates on not the Emirates, the Etihad on Sunday. And you know, and particularly with the fact that it was Pep Guardiola's last game, he's a fabulous manager who's won everything. I thought he would want to, they City would go out on a massive high, but the fact that Villa turned up and actually turned them over, fair play.
Absolutely. I mean, they were there. There is that thing of, and I don't know if Liverpool and Villa could have actually swapped places, but there is reward for every position you finish in up the table, and it might only be sort of only be 2, 2.5 million quid. But let's put it this way: if these players, as you say, were on the beach, the club's going to be a bit cheesed off if they don't bother turning up,
Yeah.
possibly lose. The fact that Liverpool drew is not the point. Is you know, Villa in that sense were you know probably the most entertaining team to watch for the most part. I mean, they did have a bit of a reputation of being of taking forever on their set pieces, but when you see who's above them, I couldn't say I'd be ever entertained by certainly not Arsenal. Man United were okay, Man City were okay, but I think the Villa, they're in a position to really sort of leap on and possibly be, you know, as every bit as good as Arsenal and City.
Well, particularly next season when there's going to be so many teams, Nick, in transition. I mean, City are going to have a new manager. Chelsea are going to have a new manager. Technically, Man United have got a new manager.
Spurs will have a new manager.
Spurs, well, yeah.
They always
I
do.
really can't see Maresca inspiring Man City the way Guardiola's done. That'll be very interesting to see what happens there. Chelsea, yeah, that Chelsea will be the interesting one to watch. But
You
no,
sure?
I think Villa, if I'm right, Villa were sort of right at the edge of their sort of financial limits, and of course, you know, with the season of Champions League football, that'll probably be sold for them by
Yeah.
vast revenues. But now there's a few clubs we've got to be a bit careful, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's have a quick look at the game on Sunday then. It was a glorious, hot, sunny day. I cannot recall. I mean, we're all in the West Upper, weren't we, on Sunday
Probably
afternoon.
just about the
I
coolest place in the
cannot recall
stadium.
it ever being that hot in there before.
Actually, I can. There was a game about 2, 3 years ago, and it was in August, We played Newcastle at home, and I think the temperature was officially recorded in the shade as 35 degrees. And I think everyone thought, well, this game's going to be played at snail's pace because this we're not even talking Mexico World Cup here. This is snail's pace. And the players, to be fair, played at decent pace. The game finished nil-nil, but I remember Newcastle fans, even to this day, say that we thrashed them nil-nil.
I remember the
Yeah, I
game,
mean,
yeah.
I don't recall it being quite so one-sided, but yeah, I thought that
No.
the players themselves did themselves credit just by being able to run around in
I
that
know
heat.
it got hotter the further up the west up you went, and since I was in the media overspill right at the back, people were saying welcome to the greenhouse when I got up there, so
Yes.
yeah. If only they when they were designing the stadium, they had thought of a window you could actually open.
Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah.
let some air in. But then at the with some of our performances, that could go completely the other way.
Well, actually, I would say this: the West Stand Upper Concourse. I was in there before the game, and it was actually quite pleasant to come out into the stadium bowl itself because it was
Yeah.
easily 5, 10 degrees cooler.
Okay. Now I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, chaps. Now I
Please
know the
do.
flags look nice, and and does it really help the atmosphere? Maybe, but it's a league game. It's not a cup final. It's treat it like a normal game, and I kind of think every time we've done this, it's backfired.
Except the first ever game, maybe.
Oh yeah, that was a different story, but we've seen it before. You're on mute, Nick.
The Sheffield Wednesday playoff semi-final second leg. I mean, we didn't win it, but the performance was fantastic.
But there was no flags for that game.
Yes, there was. Oh, believe me,
Was
there
there?
was. Yeah. No, it was kind of it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's I think
Remember
what it
Christmas
does is that
isn't
knowing
God.
full well people, are actually getting behind the team and the flags bit, I think, for whatever reason, it does help. I think any little thing is not necessarily to do with waving flags, although it may or may not have kept us a little bit cooler, who knows. But it's actually part of that thing of getting people, the players, obviously you were there, Nick, at the Players Award. You could see how much the players were pumped up for the game, irrespective of what did happen. You could see how pumped up for it they were. And if that means that the flags are going to pump the fans up, which in theory is therefore supposed to help the players, then I'm not against it at all. And it's not about the fact it's a league game, it's actually the fact that there is actually something else riding on this other than just
Yeah, I
3 points.
I've still got that memory of that Bristol City game where we tried to treat it like something that it wasn't. And I think that if we had treated it like a normal league game and actually just got on with it, rather than having the problem saying, "Oh, we're going to win the league," and we absolutely. Like
Well, the
it was a
complication.
similar performance to the one we put in on Sunday.
Well, the complication with the Bristol City game, as with Saturday, is the presence of the other team. And Bristol City, all the results had gone against them before we kicked off at 5 o'clock. And so they really had to win it. They were really in relegation trouble if they hadn't. And that was rather, you watch all those results come in and thought, oh dear, oh dear. And, unfortunately, and it very much hurts me to say this, Manchester United played rather well. I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I know we did something to the bed in this game. I just don't think the crowd was up for it. I think that the extra hour before kickoff probably helped on a very hot, sunny day where people were really enjoying the hospitality of Brighton and Hove, and of course the terrace. But ultimately, United were better than us.
Everything was in place for it to be a really good game and for the Albion to be up for it. For whatever reason, the Albion never got out of second gear. Yeah, I think it's fair to say, let's put it this way, that's the best I've seen United play against us for a long, long time.
Well,
And at
they
the start.
outran us and outfought us despite having absolutely nothing to play for,
Well, exactly. And
apart
I
from it
think
being
actually wasn't.
Carrick's first game as permanent manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's they had in the was it the first half 2 shots, 2 goals, but then that's what you need. You could be absolutely battered. Well, look at us against Leeds. Absolutely battered them in the second half, and got nothing to show for it. Therein lies the point about once again the story of finishing off. We did have chances to do it, but I mean, United's second goal was actually probably one of the best goals I've seen down there for certainly from opposition for quite a while. Others, you think, oh, this is a defensive nightmare. No, that was actually a pretty good goal. And if we'd scored it, we'd be purring.
Yeah, I definitely would have. I do like a goal like that. But yeah, I mean, defensively, it was a nightmare. But I mean, the 1-2 with it was Mason Mount and Ahmad, wasn't it? It was, you know, it left everyone on their heels. So.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, if when you see that, you think, okay, yeah, in theory, I mean, in theory, every goal is stoppable, but sometimes you just go, yeah, I mean, they're human for crying out
I
loud.
think the one that I was most upset about was the first goal, and I think it did make a big difference too. I mean, we had a couple of chances, but I mean, we didn't really threaten. We didn't have a shot on target until Sholly March's shot in late in the second half. But that goal from a corner, it was just too simple. The marking was lax. No one was paying attention, and actually, I think Bark should have done better. But
You
Jack
always say
Inchlewood put
that.
his hands up for that. It was his man who scored.
Who, sorry?
Jack Inchlewood, he put his hands up.
And it's not, and to be fair, much as I love Jack, it's not the first time he's lost his man at the corner. I could think of probably two or three. I think, wasn't it Virgil van Dijk who scored against us at Liverpool? Was it him, the near post flick header? I lose track, but yeah, there's two or three times where, I mean, because Jack is not 6'9". So, and yet he still gets seemed to be lumbered with the one of the centre halves or one of the taller players. So if Jack can grow a little bit more, he's still only 21, he might yet, who knows? I can hope and dream, can't I?
Grow out, maybe.
Well, maybe. But yeah, I mean, it's, but again, I suppose you could argue that if we'd have scored that, you'd say, yeah, that was just really good centre forward play. And also I likened it in as much as it did go over Bart's hand. And do you remember Elliot Bennett's goal that won us the championship
At
at
Walsall, yeah.
Walsall? Even to this day, I still wonder how it went over the keeper and under the bar. It was that good. I think it was just that kind of thing. But when it's a bullet header at you from about 7 yards out, then the keeper is going to get lucky more than anything stopping it.
So that goal never ceases to make me laugh. I love that goal.
Well, I
I love
was
that goal.
actually right behind the line of it as he shot it, and actually it made me jump because the way he hit it, I actually thought it was going flying over the bar and straight into my face. But luckily, it dipped at the last second and went in.
Well, ask Tom Gorringe what I think about that goal. And if you're listening, Tom, I know you do sometimes. So
All right.
it's a long story. Okay, look, I mean,
Actually,
look.
I was going to say that the one that really annoyed me, any if anything, was the third. Not because the possibility of the offside or anything like that. It's just the forward, I can't remember who it was, miscontrolled it about three times and still no one closed him down.
But
Nick.
actually, congratulations, Tom, on Cardiff getting promoted, actually. So that was well
Yes.
done to him.
Yeah.
But
So, Nick, I mean, what did you make of that third goal?
it could have been the fifth or sixth goal, couldn't it? I mean, we were just so asleep at the wheel for long periods of that second half. I mean, my memory is of Manchester United players, well, not pouring through, but just sort of strolling through, really. I mean,
What's that? Go on.
I don't like to say these things, but I did actually turn to the person sitting next to me and mentioned an illustrious Albion defender and said, you know, he's thrown the towel in. I just think
Yes.
there was a couple of players who were just who'd almost packed it in at that point. Luckily, I think we regained our discipline later in the match, or you know, it could have been a real
Yeah.
embarrassment.
Well, it kind
I
of
don't
reminded.
think you're the only one that had those thoughts. I
Yeah,
mean, we're not going to throw
no,
anyone under
quite.
the bus today, but I mean, I think everyone knows who we're talking about. But I mean,
Yeah.
I do think that the team selection was a little bit odd going into the
Can I just
game.
say, actually, Ada, can I just say what it reminded me of was the Villa game at home earlier this season. And we went 2-0 up, which was great. But what then happened is it was just simple balls over the top. We were almost too gung-ho with the attack. Simple balls over the top, and we would get done every time. Their forward players would peel off. Our defenders, who, like you say, you've seen yogurt turn quicker. just absolutely nowhere. Now Villa picked us off time after time. Luckily, Man United didn't actually turn it into a cricket score. Bart made a couple of decent saves, but yeah, just reminded me of that. And more than once, we've been caught out defensively that way of just the
Well,
simple ball over the
how
top.
many times have we sat here and talked about lack of pace in the centre of defence?
Well,
I mean,
quite.
and nothing ever gets done about it. Not that it's easy to, you know, to find very fast, you know, central defenders, but
I've
you
got to
know,
be
various
honest
clubs
with
have found them. But I wonder if Minté can play at central defence.
you.
Probably in certain other
It
places.
does make me wonder in that case, Nick, who in the Premier League is a very fast centre back?
Well, Joe Gomez was always the guy I used to talk about, with him next to Van Dijk when he was fit and, a little bit younger. I thought
And the
that was the
Ven,
perfect
he
pairing,
plays centre
because
back.
Van Dijk could deal with everything, in the air, and Gomez could deal with anything threaded through their defence. He's not the player he was by any means, but that to me, and the old Larry Lloyd, Des Walker, or whoever it was at Nottingham Forest, that's always a good combination.
Yeah, and what's his face? Walker at Man City, who's now at Burnley. Not Des Walker, the other one, the right back. Oh, come on, what's his first
Kyle
name?
Walker.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah,
He's not, he
best
has
friend of
left
Ali
early though, by the
Jakembach. Yeah,
way.
but this is it. Here we are struggling to name sort of even one on, a number of defenders on one hand who you consider pacey.
Well.
So it's I think it's just an ongoing thing that, yeah, if you can find a talented, strong, robust, intelligent footballed Billy Whiz, then you're laughing.
I was used to think they should play a back three with Tarik Lamptey as the sweeper behind Duncan Van Hecker or someone.
Well, actually, Lamptey could leap above players twice his height, couldn't he?
Yeah,
So, yeah, not a bad
maybe
shout.
so. Okay, well, I mean, moving it on. Obviously, Fernandes made it three, and he celebrated wildly despite the flag going up. I'm not quite sure why the flag went up because it didn't even look marginal to me.
I thought it was actually. Let's put it this way: I'm glad they. It's good they checked it. I thought it was offside at the time. Obviously, I was closer to the thing, but I thought it was worth flagging. Let's put it that way. And let's face it, the flag doesn't often go up against Manchester United at times like that. Normally, play
I
on
think he
until.
should have been offside. I think, we should have stepped up, but we should have done better than we did, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now,
There
sorry,
was,
can
I
I?
mean,
Sorry, just changing thing. Talking of offside, did I imagine it? Was there a real stinker of a VAR in the City game this weekend, or have I missed something?
think there's one in the Bournemouth game.
Was it? Was it? Was a? I thought it was Foden was given offside when the VAR thing clearly said it wasn't, or it might have been some AI I was looking at. I don't know. All right, if it was, if you
Yeah.
don't know and it wasn't there, move on.
Okay. Well, I mean, ultimately we were outplayed in this game. There was too many 5 and 6 out of 10 performances rather than the 7s and 8s that we actually needed to get ourselves something out of this game. I mean, we can take the positives. One of which is, of course, Solly March coming on and looking like Solly March.
Well, I think actually, we'll talk about Solly March in a minute, but I think actually all of the substitutes made a positive impact. I think it was a change of the tactics anyway, but all of them came on and
Yeah.
did a job. I don't think any of the. It's just, yeah, the starting lineup for me was a bit too defensively minded. And did James Milner ever pass the ball forward?
He had a terrible game for me. He was like he didn't really do an awful lot in the whole game, really.
Oh,
But
God. I think when we met up briefly before the. Oh, no, I met somebody else before the game. I said I was pleased to see Milner, and I thought we'd been missing him for a couple of games, but that certainly didn't work out too well. Perhaps it was just too hot for him.
Okay, well, we're going to, like I said, we are going to talk about Solly a little bit later on in the show, but what I was going to say, we take the positives. And one player who I absolutely thought was brilliant, again, it was another substitute when he came on, was Babis Kostoulas. I thought he wanted the ball. He set up that chance for Solly. He was always looking to shoot. He was always trying to get a shot away and score a goal for the team. He was a constant menace to United. And if he can continue that, I mean, I know that Fabian has had issues with the way that he trains at times, which is
No,
why he's not
he no. Hang on,
necessarily.
hang on, hang on, hang on. No, he didn't say that at all. He said others trained better. He still trained okay. What he means is he's not one of the top 20. But actually, what I mean with that in mind, Nick, and you're at the presses and you're at the post matches as well. Have you got a sort of a handle on what the thinking is with Kostoulas? Bearing in mind that he looks okay when he comes on, when he plays, and yet he doesn't get a huge amount of game time.
We had sort of hints about Gruda, but not too much about Kostoulas. I just think the problem is, he's, was he 18, 19?
I think he's
This
still
is, and
18,
this
isn't
is
he?
the great difficulty we have. When most other clubs bring off their starting central striker, they're not forced to put on a 19-year-old. There's somebody who's 26, 24, 28. We've got nothing between Welbeck and Kostoulas. And when Seamus comes back, nothing between those two and Welbeck. There has got to be, another player put in there who can take the weight off Welbeck and Costouras. I'm thinking about, good old Evan Ferguson maybe, but or somebody who's got to be brought in from somewhere to fill that huge gap.
Dennis Undav. Can we have in Dennis Undav?
Well,
That'd be
I
good.
was just looking at the other day, at the end of that season, we had Ferguson, Welbeck, Undav, Nciso. Four possible, strikers. At the moment, we got two. And yet, somehow, with that squad, we finished eighth. It's remarkable, really, when you think of the everyone was saying, during that real low point around the Palace game, he's doing okay with a terribly unbalanced squad. And nothing has changed about that. The squad is still unbalanced. And eighth place in the circumstances is remarkable.
I think so too. I mean, what's evident is, and I think that people rightly or wrongly are comparing it with De Zerbi's side that got into Europe. And I think that man for man, I think that was a better squad. And we know this. One went on to win the World Cup. One commanded a nine-figure transfer fee. One has, went on to play. Well, there's Cucurella, who, as much as he's a pantomime villain, is a good defender. We've sold a lot of players. We've done quite well on the back of it. As Potter sort of kick-started it. De Zerbi carried the job on. Hertzler, I think, like I say, he's not exactly working with one hand tied behind his back. I think he's clearly got the full support of the board. But it depends on what, as you say, the board can come up with. The recruitment team now, and this is, I think, probably the first time, if we have the right to do so, of us judging the merit of Jason Ato.
Well, he doesn't even have his as good a team as he had last year because João Pedro was sold and really not replaced.
No.
And Pedro was probably that kind of player. Anyone who comes in that's that good, well, let's put it this way: the fact that Chelsea paid for him, and the Chelsea do like to pay over the top, it gives you an example as to how much those kind of strikers are. Now Chelsea can afford them out, with change out the back of their sofa. Us, it's a slightly different prospect.
Yeah, but we didn't pay that much money for him. We got him
No, that's what I mean
from
is
Watford
that
through Glenn Murray's
we made money on him,
recommendation,
yeah.
partly. So, there will be a player out there somewhere that we can get for 30 million, with a view possibly to selling them on for 60 or 70, but certainly doing a job for us for a season or two.
I'd be of the opinion the club has already sort of found that person. Of course,
Let's hope.
with anything, we just don't know, and quite rightly.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, you're listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. This show, Alan, is brought to you in association with Flowers Unlimited. Have you bought any
Yes.
flowers recently?
Not lately, but then that would just start me sneezing, I expect. Not you should not go to them because it's warm, because actually the rest of this week it's going to start getting chillier. Anyway, so if you do fancy giving a present of a bunch of flowers to whoever it is your loved ones are, then go to 175177 Portland Road, Hove. You'll find Flowers Unlimited, a lovely wide boutique. Selling flowers, champagne, chocolates, and all other accoutrements that say, I love you very much. You can get their stuff online, Flowers Unlimited, brighton.co.uk. Or, like I say, if you just go in there and tell them you're an Albion fan, and now you can do that with a little more glee on your face, you'll also get the added glee of a 20% discount. So, thank you very much indeed to Dave Costa for sponsoring the Albion Raw. So head to 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove, where Flowers Unlimited, sponsors of the Albion Roar, are located.
Absolutely, and get yourself along there. So then, Conference League it is. Now there happens to be. I saw a very good article on the club's website today. It was written by this bloke called Nick Trepanic, and
No.
he gave me this fabulous timeline about how this is all going to scan out. So, Nick, so the 3rd of August, the draw is going to be made.
Yes, for the last playoff round before the group stage. At the moment, we're very likely to be a seeded team, which means we'll be playing home and away against somebody who's fought their way through from the preliminary rounds, or possibly someone who's dropped out of the Europa League qualifying. It shouldn't be too onerous a task. There are some big names in the among the teams already set to join in the first and second qualifying rounds, but I doubt if we'll be up against Ajax or Panathinaikos or Monaco. It'll be more likely a team from, Luxembourg or Malta or Ireland, perhaps. Let's hope we don't get, we're not that outlier that suddenly gets a difficult tie when
I
we're
mean,
not positive.
there's an awful lot of competent teams that are actually starting out in the competition. It was 167, it was 187, I think.
Something like that, a
Yeah.
weird odd number.
And by the time we enter the competition, it'll be whittled down to 48 teams. The playoff round, which we have to play, will be on the 20th and the 27th of August, so home and away. As you said, we're expected to be seeded, and another team that's had some European success recently is one of those, which is Atalanta, who won what is Europa League last year, wasn't it?
Oh. Yes, no, that well, I'd say these are big two. Freiburg,
Freiburg,
Lucent
who were just in the
finalists,
Europa League
they're in there.
final. Monaco, who play in a car park.
On a car park,
On
yes,
a
a
car
very
park,
weird
yeah.
ground, been there, but
Yeah.
very strange.
Getafe, who we're constantly playing pre-season friendlies, it seems.
Yeah,
Yes.
I mean, I know they're pre-season friendlies, but anytime we've played one of the top sort of European sides, we've actually done pretty well against them. But having said that, once you're in a competition that means something, it does actually also make me wonder, are we going to have, no, the club did say, now I'm thinking about it, they're going to have, quote, special guests for the 125th anniversary celebration. So that'd be an interesting one. So long as it's not someone else in the Conference League, I hope they can aim a little higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, like I say, I would be of the opinion there's a lot of strong teams. And like I said, then you'll have those who are going to drop down from the Europa League in January. It's not going to be an easy one to get.
No,
Why didn't
they
this
don't
happen
do that
this
anymore.
season? How come our friends from up the road got easy games at every stage?
And even then, they made a pig's ear of them, didn't they?
Yeah.
Um,
I'm
yeah, I
pretty
think
sure the teams
Fiorentina
don't
is the
drop out
only
of the
side.
Europa League anymore in January.
Say again?
They don't drop out of the Europa League anymore. Like
Oh, there are teams who will have dropped out of Europa League preliminary and
the
qualifying
qualifying, there will,
games. Oh,
was it
right.
not after the competition started.
Well, to be honest,
It
it's there's lots of information about some areas of the Conference League and almost none about others. I know that if we do well in the league stage, we'll get a bye, as we did last time, to the last 16,
Yeah, so
which
there's going to
will take
be,
off, to take some of the fixture pressure off.
yeah. So there's going to be, it's basically it's the Swiss model format, isn't it? So there's 36 teams in a single league. Each team plays six games, three at home, three away. Opponents are drawn from the different seeded pots. Teams will not be playing every other club, only six selected opponents, and then it after the league phase, after all the match is completed. The top eight teams qualify automatically for the round of 16. Teams finishing 9th to 24th enter a knockout playoff round where the two-legged ties will determine who reaches the round of 16.
Now,
The
this is
higher placed teams are going to be seeded in that.
right. Now, this is where I think the Albion have a little bit of a you'd like to think that a forewarning of it, because yeah, it was brilliant that we had that bye in January and the before playing Roma, but you could also say, one, that the fixtures were congested. Two, there is the palaver of, well, obviously there's going to be a lot more games on Sunday in the league this coming or next season. But it can't help thinking there was a bit of a fixture pile-up. Now, as good as that squad was, one, we lost some of them before we got into Europe, and two, I don't think they quite necessarily got in, because you can't do it in one transfer window. They didn't get quite necessarily get in those they wanted. Now, Nick, again, I don't know if have you heard anything about along the lines of not necessarily who they're after. You've identified that we need a kind of a prime striker, but is there any sort of word on who the Albion think they where they think they need to target?
No, we don't. There are very few leaks these days. Although there's this a Greek right back is coming in. That, of course, is an. I can't stand another season of Mats Wiever trying to play right back at that team. There's just no. There's no future in that for anybody, as far as I can see. I think what you've got to think about is that they don't want to commit until they're through to the group stage, do they? I mean, if you think about Ansu Fati coming in on loan. That's one way of expanding the squad for Europe when you know you're through. I mean, if you're in the Europa League, you know you're playing six group games. That was the situation when we were there. There's just that little suspicion that we might load up for for 2 games a week and then find ourselves not having to play it and having to fit in players, which, to be honest, we had to do this year. I mean, I don't think Ross Cagley, hit his feelings terribly well about his lack of game time, and Coppola certainly didn't. So, well, the last thing we want is to be. I think this could be some late transfer window action or late loans, and that's the sensible way to do it.
Well, it is, but it kind of can't help feeling that we're therefore handicapped. Because I mean, there's a couple of times last summer where we got our business in pretty quickly, and I think the Albion will have if they've actually zeroed in on certain players.
Well, I'm thinking more about, making sure the squad's big enough to go Thursday, Sunday. I think there are glaring holes in the squad that must be filled one way or another for sure.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Coppola there, and he's a player that's going to be coming back. So I can't remember how fast he is. He
fact that
seemed
you
to be
can't
quite
remember
quick.
says the fact you
He
can't
was
remember
usually
says
just
to me
stuck
he
on to
isn't.
defend a few set pieces late in the game. I can't remember him actually playing much in open play.
I was quite impressed with him from what I did see of him. So, I mean, that's one that's going to be coming back. Mascali's coming back in. Obviously, Brian Gruder will be returning. Evan Ferguson, once he's over his injury, will be returning. We've got,
Before he gets another injury.
we got. I mean, I, so I, has Solly March's contract run out? It hasn't run out. It's
Sorry,
not done
I think
yet.
Solly's out of contract, yes.
So
Post
we.
Milner. So I can't. Well, I'm sure Webster will be off. Solly, obviously, we'd love to have him, but can you keep playing your Premier League contract to a player who's going to play maybe 3 or 4 games as a substitute during a season?
Well, I think therein lies a point. I'll take you back to something you said a couple of minutes ago. Given that we've got the Sunday Thursday thing coming up, even if Solly can only do 25, 30, 40 minutes at a time, it gives someone a break, doesn't it?
That
So I
long?
would be of the opinion that I think he's certainly going to be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about his performance on Sunday. And he came on. He got a few more minutes than he has been getting. And obviously, we're probably looking at it through slightly sentimental lenses. But if they think he can still do a job, and if he has fully recovered from that injury, and they think he can get back to be the player that he was before he was injured, then he's going to. I'm not going to say it's a cheap option because he'll be still be well paid, but it's worth having a player like that around, definitely.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And Milner, of course. Those two, I think, I think everybody would want to keep them, all things being equal, yes. I mean, the thing is, if Solly went anywhere else, anyone looking at his fitness record, he'd presumably have to sign a contract that was heavily laded towards appearances just to
Such are the vagaries
protect
of
his appearance.
modern day football
Other
that
things that he
it
really likes
chooses,
about the
like
club offer
any
certainly
mongrel
similar,
dog, to
they're perhaps more generous
pee
than
where and when it feels like
the
doing so. As you can
Maybe it would be
tell,
safer sentiment
we
wise.
recorded this not
Whatever
one
the case,
hour
and as I say, the other
before
thing is,
Solly,
none of
bless
these
him,
early
decided
signings
his
have meant
time at the
Hammond
Albion was
finally
done.
spent four years on him,
It was
half of
slightly
his
awkward
salary,
for us,
however long
but
it is
those
for
are
an
the
agent.
things that happened.
And
Of
then Paul
course,
Scholes
AD
has
and I and
spent
everyone
another half an
associated with the
hour with
Albion
Hammond in
wish
Hammond's
Solly
dressing
all
room.
the best.
Well,
What a
at this
great
point, I'm not
servant
going to
he's
be
been
sitting
for the
here and
club.
saying that
What a
Hammond
great
isn't
time we've
worth
had
every
watching
penny,
him.
though.
Loved
Clearly,
it,
Hammond
and
has
we
had Solly
wish
March's
him
time
so
at the
well with
Albion in
all
Hammond's
his
dressing
future
room for a
endeavours,
time.
unless,
Paul
of course,
Scholes
he
has
just
said
ends
that
up
they've spent
heading
so
40
much time
miles
at
up
the
the road,
club
but he wouldn't do
rebuilding
that, would
that
he?
they want to get
Would he?
their money's worth.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. Brian Gruder is a player that has done very well out on loan at Leipzig. Leipzig would like to keep him, but he is still obviously a Brighton Hove Albion player. He did flatter to deceive at times, Nick.
Yes, I mean, he had obvious skill. Did have some fantastic moments. His winner against Manchester City, tremendous. Did everything all right. Almost messed it up. Recovered. Showed perseverance. Did everything you want. And had the reputation of being a terrible trainer. So,
Oh, is that what he was?
that was the reason I believe he was packed off. That's what I was told. Because you know they just want in that all for one and one for all spirit. You want to see everyone pulling together every single day. I mean, how someone trains is not immediately important to the fans, but at the workplace, most days of the year, it is important, and you can't have someone who's not prepared to put a shift in every day of the week. We hope if he comes back, he comes back with that mindset. Mindset's the word you hear all the time there, and it's just someone. You compare him with someone like Ayari, who's by all accounts a fantastic trainer, and even is watching the game like a hawk when he's on the bench to see where he might play when and if he comes on. You need someone with Gruda's skill and Ayari's way of looking at the game and his dedication.
Always harken
Gruda's
back.
young though. I mean, that we hope will come.
Always, when you're mentioning that, I always harken back to something Gus Poyet said, and it was right at the beginning of the Amex, so right at the end of Gary Hart's career with the Albion. And I think he was talking to someone at the Players Award, and he said, and he just pointed to Harty over the other side of the room. He said, "If I had an entire squad of that fella," he said, "my job would be 20 times easier." He said that bloke always puts in such a hard shift in training, and sometimes he didn't always necessarily play his best when for the team, but he ran through walls for every manager that he played for.
Oh, we loved him though.
Well, of
We
course.
love Hardy. We
Well,
love
yeah,
him.
if nothing else, for that reason alone.
Yeah.
So, and yes, he did, and obviously then him playing for Brighton in the Sussex Senior Cup.
And scoring.
And
Okay,
scoring.
but obviously, with next season, I mean, there will be some churn. Obviously, we will still have to balance the books, as it were. So there will be players that will be leaving. Now, there are obviously we'll talk about it when it happens rather than speculate about it. But I think we all know that there will be someone will be going for a lot of money at some point.
I can't see that there's anyone currently in the squad who's not injured. That could conjure up the kind of transfer fee that we've actually been offloading some of our players over the past 3 or 4 years. No one springs to mind. I mean, Mitoma, if he was 2 or 3 years younger and had started his career 2 or 3 years earlier, that's the only one you can think of. But one, he's what, knocking 30, and two, at the moment he's knocking on his bedpost at the moment, having
Yeah.
just had an operation.
Well, I think there's at least two that are going to like generate interest of over 60 million, I would say.
You
But
reckon? Oh, Van Hecke for sure. You reckon he
Van
can go for that
Hecke,
much? We'll see what sort of
Verbruggen.
World Cup he has, possibly Verbruggen as well.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is, we have a ready-made replacement in Rushworth if his head is right for coming back to us rather than staying with Coventry.
You read the script. That's where I was going to go. Because, I mean, Rushworth will be one. He'll want to be playing games. He won't want to come and sit on the bench. He's had permanently on loan, and I think now is the time in his development to actually come and actually be the goalkeeper. And that will all depend on whether Vaart Verbruggen is here or not next season. I suspect Jason Steele will be here,
Well, we know he will be. He signed a contract, didn't he?
but it's just a case of who is going to be that number one next year.
In your opinion, well, both of you, is if everything goes belly up, is Jason still good enough to play should he have to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to
I'm
the World
glad you thought
Cup. I'd
about
rather have him than for Bruggen right now. that. Yeah. He's going to the World Cup, Al. You know, he's
Well,
not going
there
to
is
play, but
that,
he's
but
going.
yeah. Not as a player, though, that's a shame,
Yeah.
but
Okay. Well, I mean, well, once we know what all the various pots are in the Conference League and what the makeup of our squad will be, then obviously we'll comment on that more at the time. But we are running out of time, so we will just move on quickly to the big game this Sunday.
yeah, what's happening?
We go to Wembley, mate.
We're going to Wembley. We're going to Wembley. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not.
We're going to tie a yellow ribbon in the merry month of May, or
Yeah,
however.
only just. Only
What I
just.
want is to see Madison Haley reprise the Nat Lofthouse specials of the 50s of taking the goalkeeper and a couple of centre backs into the back of the net along with the ball. I
Yes.
thought her goal at Liverpool was just brilliant. That's just what you want to see.
A
And
bullet header from.
there's the daughter of an NFL player. I mean,
Okay, well,
the daughter of an NFL player does.
give us the full SP on that, because it's like her father was a really big player
Oh yeah.
in the NFL. Tell us
Give us
about him.
for instance, give us a something that us non-NFLers can associate with. Who is the equivalent of?
It's rather difficult to make equivalences, because
In terms of standing,
people
certainly.
are allowed to be so much more violent than they are over here. I don't know. I'd probably be a bit obscure, but of the
I'll throw you here.
I don't
Well,
know.
give
I
us
mean,
a.
I'd like to say Roy Keane, I suppose, in his pomp. A player with an influence, and a bit and a presence and everything,
Yeah.
more than and an ability as well. So,
Who is this chap?
Yeah, what is his name?
Sorry, are we talking about her dad?
Yeah.
Well, who's Madison Haley's dad? Like I say, I'm not an NFLer, so give me the idiot
God,
proof version.
my brain's gone into complete freeze mode, of course, as it typically would. But no, I think I like her as a player. I mean, from getting who her dad is, I mean, that's obviously, part of the whole mystique. But I just think that you don't see that sort of presence, shall we say, in the women's game so much. I mean, so much of the women's game can be a little bit, sort of tepid, shall we say. But Madison Haley, I think, she's something different.
Yeah,
Yeah.
she's a player there, which I didn't really rate earlier on in the. She's only a second full season as a pro, actually. But the last few weeks, she's really actually coming into her own, actually showing what a fabulous player she is and can be. And I've just enjoyed watching her grow. It's Charles Haley, by the way,
Yes,
as well.
Charles Haley.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like you say, that goal at Liverpool, there was a touch of the sort of crash bang wall up, a bullet header from 6 inches. But yeah, there still had to be a defender in the way or the goalkeeper in the way. I can't remember
No,
which.
it's the 6 inches, and it's the fact that she monstered the goalkeeper and the defender.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the sort of that's why I talk about the Nat Loftus thing. That there was no danger that she wasn't going to make that cross hers, and the fact there were two Liverpool players present as well was utterly irrelevant. She was getting that ball in the net, and anything else that happened to be between her and the ball was going in as well, which is great.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying
but
about.
with sacred crosses, a little more ammunition, then let's have a few more of those.
Absolutely.
But I
Absolutely.
mean, Nick, I mean, in terms of what this ch achievement actually just getting to the cup final, actually for this team to go and play a Wembley final, it just shows you the leaps and bounds that they've actually come that they've come from since they were just like getting one man at a dog at Lancing. It's
Hang
just
on,
an
hang on. When
in
you say one man and a dog, who are you referring to us to? Now,
yes.
in which case, who's the dog? Right, okay. Sorry,
Answers on a
go on, Nick.
postcard too.
Yeah.
You don't win any flowers if you get it, but
No.
yes.
No, that's the point. Yeah, something.
Well, I mean, you talk about impetus and momentum and peaking at the right time, and you think about their results against Arsenal and Manchester City, the Arsenal game in the cup. Okay, Arsenal played possibly a slightly weakened team, but when they realised what was happening, they sent on the big guns, and it didn't work. We held out, we won it, and there was another brilliant goal in that game as well from Ms. Haley. And I think that was a contender for the Super League goal of the season. I think it was unlucky not to win. I think it was certainly a contender for Albion Women's goal of the season. And well, I think something else was picked. But no, I think there was, they've shown that they can beat Manchester City. They were, the luck of the draw favoured them to get Liverpool
Yeah.
in the semi-final, a team that we knew we could beat, although it didn't look that way when we went 2-0 down. So, no, but I think they go there with as much confidence as they could possibly have. It's a big ask, against a very good team who are probably more familiar with big games than our girls are. But let's hope the backing, inspires them, and they can be the first Brighton Hove Albion team to win at Wembley.
But having the muscle memory of already beating them is a massive and actually in recent weeks as well is massive, massive.
I would say that our chances of winning, of beating Manchester City, would be about the same as the men's team beating the Man City men's team. And as much as, yeah, you can clearly see the Man City team are sort of, more expensive, more gifted, et cetera, and yet we've got decent records against them and know how to play against them. So if you're going to look
Yeah,
at
I
it
mean,
that way.
Arsenal have to remember that we won them the league by losing to them twice and taking 4 points off City.
We don't need any favours. We can do it on our own.
No, no,
But
no. It's, no, it's, sorry, you were talking about goal of the
but
season.
like I
Sorry,
say,
Eddie, you were talking about goal of the season. It was actually Nordam with the winner at St. Helens. I mean,
yeah,
I
that
think
was
it was
more to
more.
do with more to do with what the goal meant than the quality of the goal. It was nicely placed.
Yeah,
Yes.
come on.
I mean,
But I mean,
that.
but in terms of putting the club on the map, having this, making it to this final, the chance of actually winning a trophy, and there's a lot of big players that are going to be on the move this summer, and and the fact that we've the plans to build this new stadium and to have a fully focused attitude towards the women's great game and the growth of the women's game, it becomes makes us a destination for some of these players.
You'd hope so, yeah, for sure. I mean, we are talking a while down the line, but somebody signing a 3 or 4 year contract with us now is going to be playing in that new stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, this is it. I mean, anyone who signed for the Albion in about 2009, thinking, well, if I play well, I'm going to be playing at this new place. Probably everyone thought that, except, it didn't happen to Glenn Murray, but that's not my point. Yeah, everyone was excited for it. Every manager, and let's face it, Dick Knight promised it to the world and his wife, thought they were going to be leading the team out in the first game at the Amex. So, yes, I mean, go on.
No, I was just going to say because we'll move on for that, and we'll be reporting on the result, what happens there next week in our final show of the season, where we will be announcing the Albion Roar Player of the Season, the goal of the season, the moment of the season. So, Nick, who is your 1, 2, 3 in the Albion Player of the Season, would you say?
Well, I voted for the eventual winner as Frody Kadioglu. Duracell Bunny levels of energy and commitment, and I think we saw what we'd missed thanks to the toe injury last season.
Yeah, I kind of miss that white suit.
Yes, oh God, but the Players Awards, that sort of safari suit he was wearing, that I'd take the white suit over that actually. And I have to tell Yasin Ayari that a beige suit with white trainers really doesn't work. No, there were some sights backstage, I must tell you. But still, second, I'd probably put Van Hecker. I'm glad that he didn't have the embarrassment of winning it after that appalling back pass at Leeds. That if he doesn't do that, we get the Europa League, of course. But let's not be bitter. And probably Danny Welbeck third. He was players' player of the season, and these guys know, they know what the value of a player is to themselves, to the team. And although he's had his anonymous games like Sunday, I mean, some of the stuff he has done, the goal he scored against Nottingham Forest, getting in front of a defender, turning, shooting past the keeper, he thought, well, don't remember him doing too much of that with Manchester United or Arsenal when he was in his 20s. So no, he's a we talk to him fairly regularly. He's one of the guys who will almost always talk. And, he's just an incredible physical specimen. You just think, 35. Well, I wish I was 35 again. But, to be a, at the wrong end of his career, the guy just exudes sort of fitness and health and, yeah, a tremendous player. And
And
let's hope he can keep
positivity.
defying the years.
And also a good mentor to the others as well. So.
He's just a very positive person to have around. I mean, he just exudes, he's got an aura about him, which is like.
And also, it'd be nice to think that he's actually going to mentor someone who isn't young enough to be his son.
Well, that's true.
I think
Yes.
what you said about him having scored more goals for us than everybody else he's played for puts together. I think he's enjoying being here. I think he's having a fantastic sort of career renaissance. And when we may forget mentioning him as former Manchester United and Arsenal striker, one day he might just simply be Brighton and Hove Albion all-time top division scorer Danny Welbeck, and we can forget about that rest, the rest of that stuff.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well,
You tell
I
the
can
rest of
dream.
your colleagues that.
And Nick,
They don't listen to me.
lots of contenders for a goal of the season. Who
I can't look any further than Mittema. I mean, how that didn't win the match of the day goal of the season. I mean, the technique, and the fact that he almost did it again against Chelsea. You know, the following game, Gross obviously thought, oh look, there's Carr over there. Let's do the same thing again. I know the range. No, and he could have done what one or two of our players did. I think, I can't remember who it was against Manchester United, just sort of swung a foot in and hoped, but it was a controlled volley. You know, he didn't hit it as hard as he possibly could. It was,
Side-footed
he
it.
picked out that near post top bin and stuck it there.
Yeah.
And
Can I just say that we're talking about next week's show? Can I just say that we also have the colossal embarrassment, which AD, I'm sure, is really looking forward to handing out, about actually talking about our predictions from the first Raw of the season, where we said
Yeah,
who was going to
I've got
be.
to dig those out, actually.
You do. Listen, I can tell you, I know who I predicted to be player of the season. I listen, I've got to stand by it. I was colossally wrong, but I'm not going to hide behind it. Yes, I suggested Rutter, so
I think
yeah.
I don't think it that was such a bad call, though. I mean, we were expecting after his first season, we thought he would push on, but he hasn't really.
Well, he got better
Brought
in the
up too
last
many
half dozen
trees. But I mean,
games.
there's been some better performances in the last couple of weeks, and so there's hope for next year. I think he will come good.
Shall I suggest him for next season, or will that be his kibosh as well?
I think I've yeah, don't just don't do it.
Okay,
Don't do that. And
right.
was it? Is there one moment, Nick?
I think it's when Ferdi's goal deflected in against Chelsea, and we thought we got these guys. You know, once again, we're going to do these people. You know, we're absolutely all over, and the only surprise is it took us until midway through the second half to score the second. I mean, we seem to save our best for Chelsea, and long may that continue. But
Absolutely.
that was such a dominating performance. Okay, Chelsea were rubbish, which is, fun in itself. But the way that Gross was sort of just controlling Caicedo all the way through the game, wonderful stuff.
He was
Absolutely.
bullying him, wasn't
Tremendous
he?
scenes.
Well, I was about to say he was controlling him. I thought he was trying to fight him.
Well, I think he was trying. Yes, there was a moment when he was trying to explain to the referee that, they're old pals, really, although they hadn't been behaving like it.
Well, I mean, we'll have that and plenty other moments for you on the last Raw of the season next week. But until then, good luck to the girls this week. Thank you to Alan Wares. Thank you to Nick Szczepanik. I've been Ady Packham. This has been the Albion Raw on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. Online, radioreverb.com on DAB and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Come on, girls. You can do it.
She's crazy like a fool. daddy. Oh, she believes in him. She loves her daddy.